It's good to see all of you this afternoon, this evening. It is, as I said this morning, a beautiful Lord's Day, looking like it's going to be a beautiful sunset, a beautiful evening for us. I want to talk this evening about what the world would have you to believe and want you to do versus what God would have you and want you to do. We live in a society where they want you to understand that you need to be true to yourself. Well, that's a catchphrase, if you think about it. And it's a catchphrase that you'll see randomly throughout your day, throughout life. And it seems to especially serve the interest of what people call today the woke crowd. And it centers its attention on self first. In other words, above anything and everyone else, you put self. You come first. We used to have a culture where it was a shift from the 60s and 80s called situation ethics, where right or wrong depends on the particular situation you're in. If it's okay and it doesn't harm anyone else, then it really doesn't matter what's right or what's wrong. But today, we are filled with a society of narcissists. We are well-absorbed, we are self-absorbed, and have this attitude of self-promotion at the expense of anybody and everybody. And that's what the world wants you to understand. You come first. Well, in my old Southern boy vernacular, you know, you've heard me say that when you worship God, it ain't about you. But even in worshiping God, people want to say that it is about you. That God wants you to be happy. But when you worship God, as we looked at John chapter 14 this morning, Jesus kind of alluded to the fact that it ain't about you. It's about serving God. But this attitude of be true to yourself, Christians are not immune to it. They're not immune to this kind of thinking, as well as the conduct that goes along with it. And this is the exact opposite of what Jesus said is necessary to seek and to find and follow Him. For example, in Matthew 16, beginning in verse 24, Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Notice what Jesus said there. If you want to follow him, if you want to come after him, you have to deny yourself. It ain't about you. It ain't about, as the catchphrase is, be true to yourself. You be yourself. Be yourself true. Jesus also said in Luke 9 and verse 23, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Do this daily. And Christians are not immune to it. But that's the exact opposite. What the world tells you is the exact opposite of what Jesus tells you. And disciples of Christ wear the yoke, should wear the yoke of self-denial. In the greatest invitation ever given, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Notice what he says here. Come to him, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We live in a world where a lot of us are weighed down with the obstacles of life. Kind of what we were talking about before services. Everybody has problems. And Jesus says, when you've got those problems, you come to him and you will find rest. The world says, no, don't do that. You go and take care of it yourself. Indulge yourself in whatever you need to get through this. Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. How did Jesus teach? In word, but also in deed. He was humble in heart, wasn't he? Didn't he wash his own disciples' feet, as we recently studied? So I want to ask you tonight, what does it mean to deny self? What does it mean? Well, if we look at a definition of this, the first definition I want to look at is in Matthew 16. We've already noticed this passage. Jesus said, if you desire to come after me, deny yourself. Deny yourself. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. But what does that mean in our modern day languages? Well, first of all, it means to forget oneself, lost sight of oneself and one's own interest, according to Thayer. That's what he says about Matthew 16 here. To lose sight of yourself, of your own interest. Like I say, when it comes to serving God and worshiping God, it ain't about us. It's about pleasing God and bearing fruit to bring honor and glory to His name. Vine goes on and says it means disregarding one's own interest. A lot of people worship God for what they get out of it. And that sounds hard to believe, but really it is sometimes. There are people that will leave one town, live in one town, and drive plumb to another town for the social benefit they get out of going to a different congregation. But self-denial says no to self. And what that really means is self-indulgence and stubbornness. We can't be stubborn. When God says do something, we deny ourselves. He says do it. And it's like the old military drill sergeants used to say, when I say jump, you say how high. When I say jump, you say how high. When the Lord says jump, we ought to say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. When the Lord tells us to do something, it's yes, Lord. It's not that we scratch our head and go, you know, this way would be a better way. I think that way over there is better than what you are wanting me to do, Lord. That's not what it's about. It's about putting my wants and my desires behind me, denying myself, my own indulgences and my own stubbornness, and just simply doing what Jesus says do. Now this application of denying self means that, like Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 25, that I got to give my life to Jesus. Wholeheartedly give my life to Jesus. We have a new master in Jesus. And we are following Him by faith, according to Galatians 2 and verse 20. Now, when we become children of God, our priority of faith is first. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33, as we'll notice a little bit later, that we're to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And He goes on to say, in that context of worrying or having anxiety about things, that you seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus, God, is going to take care of everything if you put Him first. You know, I've said in the past that Marilyn and I, before we got the DVR and would record shows, we'd have to watch the commercials in between the shows that we were watching on TV. They'd advertise a movie or something, and it would be just terrible. Terrible. The preview would be just awful. And we'd look at each other, or not even look at each other. We'd just out loud say, well, we're going to put that on the bottom of our list of things to do. Meaning, we have no interest at all in watching that movie, so we're not even going to try. And you look at your refrigerator or wherever you have your list, your to-do list, your honey-do list, man. Whatever's at the bottom of the list is not the top priority that she wants you to get to first, is it? What you have at the top of the list is the top of your priority. Your faith in serving God is the top of your priority. denying yourself is the most important thing that you can do. Our priority of faith comes before family. It becomes before our life. It comes before our comfort in this life. But also when we make application, it's obeying Christ instead of indulging ourselves in sin. And it may not be something that's sinful. It just may be a guilty pleasure that we call it. But it may take the place of doing something else that we ought to be doing. I like to play golf. Not very good at it, but I like getting outside. It gives me some sunshine, and I get a little bit of walking in, even though I ride the golf cart. And I really don't like it when they say it's cart path only. So I like to ride in the golf cart, but I do get some steps in. And I like to think that sometimes I get lucky and have a good shot. But I cannot put it before what God needs me to do, what God commands me to do. And the same would be true with your pleasures in life, whether it's fishing, whether it's, I mean, you name it, whatever you like to do, you cannot put it first. You can't put family first before God. You can't put the comforts in life first before God. Christ must come first in everything, and obedience to Him must take priority. But you know, there are some passages that forbid anything that requires self-denial. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, Paul told the young preacher Timothy, "Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, and those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." You know, when you're young, you have everything going on, don't you? You have everything going on. And when you're really young, you have to involve your parents in it. I know, I've got grandkids that are playing sports, basketball, soccer, baseball. Baseball's fixing to kick off, basketball's winding down. But then when baseball season starts, you've got soccer season that'll start. And everybody calls for your attention, don't they? Well, you got this practice going on this week, this night, this time. And then you have things like band and other school activities that you want to participate in. Sometimes those things can be youthful lust, as Paul tells Timothy, to avoid, to flee from. And those lusts imply that it's something that you're willing to put before God. He goes on in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, and Paul says, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." We have to put away the lust of life. We have to put away lying. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 18 that we have to put away immorality, fornication. He says, "Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body." And then, you know, there are passages that command anything that requires self-denial. Paul would talk in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 24 about having gentleness and patience. He said, "A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, and be patient." And he talks about that love is commanded in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. He said, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another." So what does it mean to have self-denial? What does it mean for us to deny self? Well, the meaning is, as Jesus points out in Matthew 16, to deny self and put Him first. To take up our cross and follow Him daily. To seek first His kingdom in everything that we do. It means denying myself by giving my life wholly to Jesus and not focusing on myself. Now, I'm talking about focusing on my desires, my wants, my wishes. When it comes to following Christ, I do need to focus on myself as far as my spiritual growth goes. But let's ask this question. Why deny ourselves? Why should we practice self-denial in our lives? And I'll paraphrase that and say, as Christians, as children of God, as disciples, as followers of Christ. Well, I want to suggest to you the first reason is a very reasonable reason. Because temptation to sin is resisted when we deny ourselves. When we deny self. Paul would talk about in the 1 Corinthians letter that we need to be aware of how we stand. And I'm paraphrasing here. He said, because you need to be aware of your situation, your surroundings, lest you fall. Be aware of the temptations that are around you, lest you fall. Consider some Old Testament characters, like in Genesis 39 with Joseph. His temptation was with Potiphar's wife, remember? How easy would it have been for a young man to say, well, the devil made me do it. You ever heard that catchphrase? It's kind of an oldie. The devil made me do it. And he could have legitimately used that excuse, but he didn't. He fled from Potiphar's wife. What about Moses? Did Moses resist temptation by denying self? What did he say about joining the Israelites and turning his back on the household of Pharaoh? That he'd rather suffer the affliction of the Hebrew people than the pleasures that the Pharaoh household offered. But you see, by refusing to deny self, when the world looks at that and they look at us as being full of self-denial, they consider that foolishness. The world estimates ourselves, we must estimate ourselves as lowly and humble in this world. But the world looks at you and says, what are you doing? Exalt yourself. Elevate yourself. Step on people to get wherever you want to go in this life. In this world, it doesn't matter who you step on. But Paul would speak in Philippians chapter 2 about selfishness that does not deny self. In other words, we don't need to be self-seeking in our lives. It ain't about us. It's about God. It's about our brothers and sisters in Christ first before us. You know, there are some examples of self-seeking people, of never denying self or having never been denied anything in their lives, having been pampered or petted for anything, anyone, or any reason. The best example of this that I can think of is from the Little House on the Prairie. Y'all remember Nellie Olson? Isn't she a perfect example of having never had to deny herself? I deserve to go first. That's lack of self-denial. When you want to be first in line, that sounds very elementary school, doesn't it? When the teacher would have everybody line up and the kids would all rush to be in line first and you'd have them pushing and shoving to be the first one in line, even if it's just to go to the bathroom, to go to lunch, to go to the library. I deserve to go first. When do we teach our children to start denying self? Like I say, this is very first grader-esque. Who is the most important person in your life? If you have to go first in everything, if you feel that you deserve to go first. Also, remember Nellie Olson? Why do I have to share? Her mom and daddy run the store. They own the store. And she really didn't have a lack of anything. She always got the best and the first of everything. And she didn't like to share. The problem is that the selfish don't see themselves as being selfish. Well, it's mine. Why should I have to share my good fortune, my things, my pleasures with anybody else? What did Jesus say about seeking first the kingdom of God? And I like Nellie because she's always about her. Isn't it all about me? I'm Nellie Olson. Look at me. It's all about me. You know, a military leader by the name of Robert E. Lee had a woman bring her baby to him to be blessed by Robert E. Lee, believe it or not. And he wouldn't do it, but he told her, says, just teach him to deny himself. Teach him to deny himself. What a great lesson to teach our children. To be second or to be third and allow others to go in front of you. Why deny self? Because temptation to sin is resisted by denying self. Why deny self? Because refusing to deny self is foolish and worldly. But it's also that because denying self serves others. It serves others. Because I don't have to be in the front. I'm not trying to push myself to be elevated among other people, above other people, but I'm willing to humble myself, to deny myself, and do what others need done. Whatever they may need help doing. A true expression of brotherly love. You remember John chapter 13, when Jesus washed his disciples' feet? Are you ready to wash feet? Are you ready to wash other people's feet? Peter said, no, Lord, you shouldn't wash my feet. Remember that statement? And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, then you don't have any part of me. And Peter said, not just my feet, but everything. All of me. Jesus, the Son of God, humbled himself, put others first, and washed their feet. Are you willing to do that? And I don't mean literally wash someone else's feet. But are you willing to submit to other people? Submit to their needs. Put their needs sometime above yours. They may be in greater need of something than you are. Maybe you're holding some money back to buy something that goes along with one of your pleasures. And somebody else tells you that they have a need. And you're in your mind, you're thinking, well, I've got this money saved back for whatever reason. And this person over here is struggling. And you could give them that money and be blessed. Or just do something for someone else. You don't have to advertise it. Just do it. Deny yourself. Another reason we need to deny ourselves is because Jesus denied himself. It's what Peter talks about in 1 Peter chapter 2. And we need to follow in Jesus' footsteps, don't we? Deny ourselves even if it comes to the point of being mistreated. And when you think about it, did Christ come to this world to please himself? No, he told the disciples and us multiple times that he came to this world to obey the Father's commands, to do what his Father had told him to do. He pleased others instead of himself. He benefited others instead of himself. It would have been easier if he had stayed in heaven. You remember when he was on trial with Pilate? And Pilate asked him, said, are you the Son of God? Are you? Jesus at one point told him, says, if it were my will and I wanted to, I could call down 12 legions of angels. But he didn't. Because he had to serve us. Even though he was God in the flesh, even though he was the Son of God. The Father's will came before him, before himself. When he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, what was he praying for? Let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done. We live in a day and time when a lot of people say it's my way or the highway. I'm going to have my way or I'm going to quit. I'm going to leave. Y'all remember playing baseball in the backyard as kids? You girls may not, but the boys might. And there was always one boy that brought the bat and maybe brought the ball. And if he didn't get four strikes and four outs, then he says, I'm taking my bat and ball and I'm going home. Well, that meant the game was over. It's my way or the highway. We have to deny self. And that is a personal choice by each and every individual. And Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? How firm, how set are you on not denying self? It's all about you. It's all about me. Jesus asked you a question. What are you willing to give in exchange for your soul? You have to deny self because that's the example that Jesus set before us. The self-seeker says, oh, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give of myself. And then he loses his soul. The self-denier says, I would give up everything, whatever is needed. And his soul is saved. Again, we back up a few verses from what Jesus said here in Mark 8 in verse 34. When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Are you willing to deny yourself? To come to Jesus in obedience and be saved? The Christian, the child of God, the disciple of Christ, if we're not daily in denial, then we need to return to Jesus with a repentant soul and confess what may be separating us from God. Self-denial. Are you willing to deny yourself? If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, the first step of denying yourself is understanding that you can't have salvation anywhere but in Christ. Jesus says, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. The way that you come to Christ, the way that you come to the Father is through Christ, by coming into contact with His blood through baptism. Have you put Christ on in baptism? It may be that you've done that, but you've allowed this concept of the world that everybody else comes second in your life but you. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow Him. Deny yourself. Be willing to serve humbly our God and our Father. If you're here tonight, you're in need of and subject of obeying the invitation by putting Christ on in baptism or confessing some sin, as public as it may be, then I encourage you to make your way to the front while together we stand and sing.